Okay. I think that's probably enough on that. Oh, the other thing, one other thing on that would be name names. You heard that? Well, we can't say anything. Yeah, we shouldn't name any names. Well, Paul named names all the time. So did Jesus. Why? Because the sheep are at stake. He wants to protect us. He wants to give us warning. Paul said when we left, and this is another part of this new age, he said, the last words, he said, from amongst your own selves, false workers will arise to carry away the disciples. From amongst your own selves. And I asked my brothers and sisters, who are these people these days? And he says, keep alert. Keep on the alert for these people. Or have we just accepted all the terrors that are amongst the wheat? Why? Because it's all the same to God. It really doesn't make any difference. It's one group hug and everything is cool. No, it's not cool. So who are those people? Paul said, keep on the alert. If we want to be obedient to the scriptures, look at how many times Peter says diligent, the first chapter, first, be diligent, be diligent, be diligent. Watch out, keep on the alert. Why? This is warfare. Who are the pawns? Our children, our grandchildren, our family members. The evil one comes to, you know, seek, kill, and destroy. I hate him. I just hate him. I actually feel sorry for him at times. I wish he could repent, you know? But it's all over for him. And the last thing on that third heresy, this is the longest one, and then we'll move through the others, is people say never say anything, and yet, who was it that said, I'm always there to remind you of these things? Just the opposite. People say, Mark, you're always reminding us of this stuff. And I said, you're right. You're a pain in the butt. Yeah, I don't mean to be. Tell me where, but I said, what are you saying of the very oracles of God that will change people's hearts? You know, we need to make sure we're not seduced. Fourth heresy is no matter what we need to do, we need to finish well. The Word talks about whatever your theology is, whatever it is, most of the New Testament is corrective. It's warnings. I'll just quote a couple things in there, but it talks about apostasy. It talks about false brothers. It talks about falling from the faith. It talks about walking away from the faith. Whatever that means, however that is, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet my body. I give my body a black eye, lest after I've preached to others, I myself might be a Dokimus, reprobate, cut off. The same word that he uses in 2 Corinthians 3, for Jannes and Jambres, which says men have been rejected with regards to the faith. Serious stuff. However you believe in whatever, there's an element that says that we must persevere and be on the lookout. For instance, a lot of people say, well, that really doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean anything. But if I had my 8-year-old granddaughter, Katie, and let's say I gave her a screwdriver and I said, now, Katie, if you go stick that screwdriver over in that electrical outlet, you're going to get electrocuted. And if she goes over there to do it, I'd say, but it really doesn't mean that. Don't worry about it. Does that make sense? It means something. That's all I would share. It means something. And frankly, it bothers me. I would have not wrote the scripture like that. I don't like it. I mean, it bothers me. You know, it's like Paul said that and the other guy said that. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. So all that means something. So, and I think that's a heresy when we don't deal with it. We just ignore it. They're there for our protection. What does it mean? Okay, second challenge, and we'll go quickly through these other ones here. The second challenge, and so that's the New Age movement and all its four heresies. The second one is the fierce independent spirit. And this really is the Corinthian spirit. It's a militant spirit. Now we go from something that's soft and don't oppose to something that's aggressive and against you. In other words, the people are really cool and easy with you, except if you challenge them, and then they raise up and they forget the first challenge and they hit you with the second. Who are you to tell me anything? You dirty, rotten sinner, what do you know? Get the beam out of your own eye. You know, they go through all that shenanigans. Corinth was a great place. Gordon Fee, the great charismatic scholar, in his book, 1 Corinthians, if he had to have one book on a commentary, it's really good. It's the entry is description of Corinth was worth the price of the book. He says that in that day, Corinth was the equivalent of New York, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas rolled up into one. If you can imagine. Here Paul comes and plants this church. Can you imagine the baggage? As a matter of fact, Rome rebuilt Corinth, I think 100 years after they destroyed it, because they had so many freedmen in Rome that were being fiercely independent. They wanted to get them out of Dodge, and they sent them to Corinth, sort of like a penal colony, like they set up Australia for the criminals. They wanted to get them out because they were causing them too much trouble. So we have all this cacophony, this commerce, the prostitution. To Corinthianize meant to have sex with one of the prostitutes there. It was common knowledge that that was the term for it. First Corinthians commentary by Gordon Fee. He's the guy that also authored How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, a book on biblical. It's really good, biblical. He and Stewart wrote that. It's a little paperback. If you got to have one book, a simple book to read about biblical interpretation, hermeneutics, it's really good. A little paperback. It's $10 or so. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. What's the biggest thing? And I would encourage you to consider this. The fifth heresy, then, under this fierce, independent, militant spirit is independence and control. I'm independent and I'm in control. Communication. How do we get along? That's the first and biggest travesty that happens in our groups. How do we get along and communicate properly to find the Lord's mind so we don't split the church, or we just have group hugs and the church is riddled with sin, and our neighbors look at us and say, well, why should we join them? They're probably a little worse than we are. That's the key element. How do we communicate like they did in Acts 15? How do we stay with each other and work that out so the glory of God is seen in the heavenlies? Crucial. Absolutely crucial. And essentially, what people do is they defend their position. They validate their opinion. And what they're really thinking when they're talking to you, I'm right, you're wrong. My job is to get you to see it without getting either of us too upset. I used to think that way all the time. Now I'm able to see that that does not please God. I could be wrong. Sometimes I'm desperately wrong. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes it's not 50-50. Sometimes I'm 90% wrong. And I need my brothers and sisters. You need to stay with each other and work through those things. Now, sometimes people won't do that. Well, then they're in sin, and then we need to bring discipline, if that's what the Holy Spirit leads us, so we get to that point and honor God in all that we do. That's holy behavior. Debate is holy behavior. Stimulate one another in love and good works, Hebrews 10. And stimulate is the Greek word sharp contention. It's all about Jesus and let's just have something to eat. You're working through these things so that God is honored and we're able to take the full gospel to our children, our grandchildren, to the world. What else spawns off the fierce independent spirit, okay? How else is it manifest? Competition. People say, well, you can't run a business without competition. You sure can. I run my life after the last 12 years. I don't do it perfectly. I don't compete against my. If God brings somebody else in, I don't compete against them. I just walk away. And God brings some other deal in. Well, yeah, but what? You would be amazed. So we're trying to bring these gospel principles to the marketplace as a consultant. How do we love our enemies? How do we love our competition? Well, you crazy, Mark? This is about a profit. Is there a way to? Yes, there's a way to do it. Turn the world upside down. Why do we need to beat each other's brains out for a profit when that's what the world does? Competition. Sports, all that stuff. I believe some of that sports, the emphasis, overemphasis with men is because we're not outside doing the things subduing the world. So what do? We try to subdue our TV set through sports. We live vicariously in virtual submission or subduing the world rather than doing the real thing. I know I did for years. Or we play golf where we try to go out and it's a genteel way of beating each other's brains out. But it's still, you're what? Are you considering others' interests as important as your own when you're competing? No, we're not. And yet it's become standard operating procedure in the church. You get in trouble. We've got a great track. My wife wrote a track on sports. Is it really Christian? And she, we used to do all that stuff. But she went through the scriptures and went through it and, forbear with one another, love with one another, think of another's interest. You start thinking, it doesn't fit that grid. So if you were addicted to sports like I was, I just, I said, Lord, help me. Help me. And he will. There was a fellow that the fierce independent spirit, we were going through something. His kids were falling apart, an older fellow my age, and we could see it coming, and we talked to him, and he said, fierce independent spirit, he said, broke our hearts in house church stuff. He said, I've left other churches. I can lead this one too. And he did. And his wife said, when he said that, we were in this big meeting, and his wife said, you can't do that. That's like divorcing. And he said, I can lead this church. And they did. And their kids went right in the sewer. And they're still there today. That was 10 years ago. Because we prophesied over him in love. And he's irreconcilable. If he doesn't repent, the Bible says that those who are irreconcilable shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's scary stuff.